So we have spent the past 3 weeks in our study of the Book of Psalms studying about positive, uplifting subjects, right? Spent 2 weeks studying about prayer. Last week we studied about praising the Lord. This week we're going to look at a little bit of a darker subject, the burden of sin. But it's a subject that's no less important, right? Maybe even of more importance, the subject of sin. So what I want to do is go ahead and just start off and answer number one to get us started, and then we'll work our way through here. So I'll kind of do as we've done before. I'll ask for a volunteer, if you would, just to answer number one, and then we'll discuss it a little bit.
What term did the psalmist use to describe his iniquity? Great.
Yeah. What does that show us about, or what does that tell us about David's heart? Tells us that he took sin seriously, that he had an honest heart. It tells us that he took responsibility for his sin, right? He says that his sins were great, and he's going to go on to describe the burden of those sins. Sorry about that. He describes the sin as being great, and he's going to talk about the burden of those sins. But do our sins have to be great, or do they have to be many in order for them to be burdensome? Does it take a lot of sins to be burdensome?
No, most days.
It only takes one, right? It only takes one sin to be burdensome. Any unrepented sin should be burdensome, right? Any sin that we commit that we haven't repented of should bother us. So, let's take a look at the next few questions here, and we're gonna see how David's sins were a burden to him, and the descriptors that he used, the words and phrases that he used to describe how those sins were a burden to him. So let's take number two, if someone would take that, please.
Using 31:9-10, describe how the psalmist felt because of his iniquity. He said his life was spent with grief, years were sighing, and that his strength fails because of his iniquity.
Right. All right, and number three. Anyone, please.
Describe what the psalmist was going through before he acknowledged his sin. You know, the passage indicated there, beginning in verse 3, it says, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all the day long." He speaks of God's hand being heavy upon him. He says that his vitality was turned into the drought of summer. He was just spent every way to call it.
He's describing some internal turmoil there, I believe. All right, and then number four, if someone would take that, please.
Was the psalmist able to bear the burden of his sin? No. It says that my iniquities have gone over my head. I'm like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me.
Right. And then number five. So, we're going to come back in just a moment, and I want to take the time to go back and read these passages that where David describes the burden of his sin. But before we do that, I want to ask you this question. what attributes of sin are burdensome? And what I mean by that, what is it about sin that weighs us down? I think we get that impression from what we've seen in those few questions there, is that sin is weighing David down. It's causing that internal turmoil. So what is it about sin that causes those feelings? Guilt? Yep, Chad? Any other thoughts? Mark?
If we recognize what holiness is and that God is holy, then in the state of an unrepentant sin, we have no connection to God. He can't be with us because of his nature.
And his holiness won't allow that relationship. Here's someone else.
They just said the separation that it caused between man and God.
Any other thoughts?
Brent, I know you said you were going back and read these passages, but the Psalm 38 passage in particular, you know, speaks of God's wrath and his hot displeasure. There's no sense in my flesh because of your anger, just to know that I'm in trouble with him, that he is.
So my list, which is not all-inclusive, guilt was mentioned. So the guilt of knowing that we transgressed against God, that certainly plays a part in the burden. The long-lasting consequences can also play a factor there. Broken homes, physical illness that may result from some sin that we've participated in, emotional scars, from sin. The fear of eternal consequences. What Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. So when we are, I think several of us have alluded to this, but when we sin against God and we know that we are separated from Him and we know the eternal consequences that await, that fear can cause great burdens. And I think the root of it is that sin separates us from God. And we talked about this, I think Colossians 1 and verse 21 is a very appropriate passage here. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. I think that is at the root of what David was feeling when he wrote some of the descriptions of his burdens. Brian?
Well, as far as just that burden, that emotional toll or whatever, I've always been struck by Psalms 38:7. New King James says, my loins are full of inflammation. You can't take enough ibuprofen for that.
That's right. If we don't feel a burden when we sin, what does that indicate about our hearts? Does it indicate that we have soft hearts?
It's scarred, hardened.
And
not able to
that's a good indication that our heart's hardened. If we're not feeling some type of shame or guilt or some type of emotion for the sins that we've committed. All right, so let's go back and read these passages now. Let's start with Psalm 31. Verses 9 and 10. Psalm 31, verse 9 and 10. I'll read that. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. So, we see the deep emotion there from David that... That he feels like he's just wasting away with the grief that he's feeling. Down to the next psalm, if someone would read Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Notice two contrast or a key contrast there in that passage. Something that David did, and I'm phrasing it back there. What did David initially do?
Kept silent.
And that certainly contributed this burden, right? I don't want to spoil too much of the rest of our study, but in order for us to be released from some of this burden of sin, what must we do?
Confess.
Must confess. So while he keeps silent, his bones grow old. He's feeling that turmoil inside, the burden of sin is taking its effect. Now, I don't think David is speaking in a literal sense here, that his bones are physically growing old. But can the burden of sin make us physically sick? If we are so distraught over some sin in our life, it can make you sick to your stomach. It can cause various illnesses depending on the person. You know, you think of times in your life where you've been distraught over something else, maybe besides sin, but that has made you physically sick, where you didn't want to eat, or maybe you physically even vomited. If we are emotionally distraught over sin, it can cause the same physical ailments, and certainly the spiritual ailments. All right, let's also look at Psalm 38. Psalm 38, and if someone would please read verses 1 through 8 to begin with.
O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a hedge.
doesn't sound like he's in very good condition right now. I'll skip down and read verses 17 and 18 of the same chapter. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. All right, so before I move on, there's one point that I failed to mention from this slide here. When we were mentioning the fear of the eternal consequences, I think a good example of that is Simon, who in your book is accurately named Simon the former sorcerer. I like how it's worded in our material, the former sorcerer. Simon the former sorcerer, I think, is a good example of this. When he's rebuked by Peter in Acts chapter 8, I'll just turn over and read this. In Acts chapter 8, I think we see an example of someone who feared the eternal consequences of sin, who felt that burden. Acts chapter 8, and beginning in verse 20. But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." So, this wasn't a long-lasting burden that Simon felt here. It was, it seems to be a short burden that he felt, but he took immediate action and asked that Peter pray for forgiveness. That he obviously is showing signs of repentance there after Peter rebukes him. All right, so we've read in Psalms from Psalm 31 and 32 and also from Psalm 38 some of the descriptors of the burden of sin. Wounds that are foul and festering, trouble, grief, groaning, a heavy burden, sorrow, turmoil. We also saw the loins full of inflammation, feeble and severely broken. And all of this revolves around sin. So, we really have a choice, right? We can choose sin and all the things that come along with it. Or we can choose Christ, whose burden is light, right? So we can choose the burden of sorrow, the heavy burden, grief, sorrow, trouble, or our Savior, whose burden is light. And when you look at it that way, it makes you wonder why we give in to temptation. We know that sin is pleasing, but we also know that it's passing. And that Christ's burden really is that it is light. He's made that promise to us. All right. So sin, the burden of sin, isn't limited to sins of commission, as we describe them. So it's not limited to sins of action. James 4 and verse 17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So have you ever failed to do something that you know you should have done and had a really bad feeling after that? That gut, you know, that feeling in your stomach that you've done something wrong or that you've left something undone. When we neglect opportunities to share the gospel, encourage our brethren or to do any good work, we can experience guilt. We can experience the burden of sin in those situations. And that guilt can be just as bad, if not worse, than what we saw David experiencing there in the Psalms that we've read this evening. Brian?
A song that's always haunted me is that song, "We Never Mentioned Him to Me." You know, I remember even as a child, you know, that just kind of gets to me. You know, you hear somebody face the Lord in judgment looking over at you like, you know, "You never mentioned him to me." And, you know, I just think about neglected opportunities, especially in that area. And not just that area, but just kind of focusing on that right now. But yeah, that burden is very, very real.
So that's it's a sobering thought that we really should think about every day. We may do a great job of avoiding sins of commission, but we may stumble in areas of leaving things undone. I think that that's an area that is very easy to fall into. It's a trap that, if we're not taking a careful look at our lives every day, that things can start being left undone, and one thing leads to another, and before long we've got a whole laundry list of things that we know we should be doing that are being left undone. Alright, so somebody fill in the blank for me here. Sin can be a burden for the one who has sinned as well as... who else? What was that, Brother Jim?
So the one you've sinned against.
The one you've sinned against? Certainly. Who else?
Others?
Family members, sin of adultery, divorce, alcohol use, abuse, gambling, all of those things can certainly burden our family members, right? Carries over, carries on down the line much further than ourselves. It can carry over to our brethren. We can discourage our brethren. That can be a burden for them because of our sin. We can lose relationships with our brethren. Yes, Brother Jim. Absolutely. If we've sinned in some public manner, we can absolutely bring reproach on the church. We represent more than ourselves, right? We represent each and every one of us here. We can be our sin can be a burden to complete strangers. An example of that would be someone injured by a drunk driver. And I think it's very important to remember that our sin can be a burden to God. Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6 state, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Do we think about that when we sin? That this sin's affecting not only me, my family, my brethren, but also God. That should be a sobering thought there for us as well.
Not as valuable and useful to others as you could.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still a thing or not, but as a former athlete, we used to put weighted vests on to run in. And, of course, you couldn't run as fast with that weighted vest. You weren't as mobile. You weren't as quick. It was designed to help you gain speed and endurance, but while you were wearing it, you were hindered. And when we have the weight of sin on us, we're hindered as Christians, right? We're not going to be able to fulfill our role as Christians as God wants us to when we're carrying that extra weight around. I don't want to talk too much about anyone else have any comments that I've... York?
Yeah, I figured now is as good a time as any to say there's good news also. I recognize that the purpose of tonight's lesson is really to focus and hone in on the burden that sin causes. But I think we'd missed out if we don't point out the silver lining that God, we can have instant gratification, so to speak, in His forgiveness. And a big part, if not all of that burden, can be lifted just by talking to God. Now, that's not going to take away some of the other consequences of our sins, and of course, we have to deal with those. But there's a very powerful feeling that you can have by accessing the healing power of the blood of Christ through prayer. And as terrible as the burden of sin is, it can be gone just as quick as it came with.
Very good. I wasn't going to leave that out, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, I figured we'd get there, but you know.
God's forgiveness, it is certainly the silver lining. But we must remember, it's not going to erase the consequences. There could be lasting consequences.
And it may be you or me that helps someone get over the burden of sin. Assuming that a lot of this grief and turmoil that David went through was with his sin with Bathsheba, it still took Nathan the prophet going to David and saying, "You've sinned. You know, it's been 9 months at least since this sin, and David struggles." But so we're not doing anyone a favor if we know there's sin in their life and just thinking that they'll figure it out, they'll get over it. It's awkward. We can help somebody get over the burden of sin.
We have a responsibility to do that. Absolutely. Thank you for that point. Anything else? Okay, so as we've seen in the passages from Psalms that we've read so far this evening, Psalms describes the burden of sin as a sickness, right? That physical sickness that we see described there. There's no soundness in my flesh, nor any health in my bones. My wounds are foul and festering. Very vivid descriptions here. I'm feeble and severely broken. My strength fails me. So we talked about how the guilt of sin, that burden, can make us physically sick. Is that a good thing? For it to have that effect on us?
Kind of like sorrow that leads to repentance is a good thing.
That's right. So, I'll say that it's a good thing, but it depends on how we handle or react to that burden. It wasn't for Judas. How did Judas handle that burden?
Well, he had the sorrow of the world.
That's right.
I mean, that's the way Paul put it.
Yeah, he did. He had the sorrow of the world. He confessed his sin. He said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But because he had the sorrow of the world, he went and hanged himself. That wasn't godly sorrow. But the woman in Luke chapter 7, the sinful woman there, let's take a look at, well, we don't have time to read that entire passage, but the woman there in Luke chapter 7, she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. She kissed and anointed his feet with fragrant oil. She had godly sorrow over her sins. It was a good thing for the prodigal son. He had that godly sorrow. He came to himself there in that account in Luke chapter 15. He pretty much had to hit rock bottom, though, before he came to that realization, though, right? He had to feel that burden before changing his ways. It was a good thing for Peter. And Jesus turned and looked at him after Peter denied him three times. He went out and wept bitterly. And it was a good thing for the Corinthians as well. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Second Corinthians 7, and someone would please read verses 8 through 11.
For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss. Sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. The sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves.
We can only have that, all have that response. The New King James Version there in verse 10 says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. So what Lamar had hit on there in the preceding verse in verse 9, you are made sorry in a godly manner. So we see that Paul's letter had caused them to experience that godly sorrow and turn from their ways.
The phrase "not to be regretted" is a powerful statement in that passage. That, you know, the kid, I remember, you know, one kid saying to the other, he says, he's not really sorry, he's just sorry he got caught. Well, if worldly sorrow is in play, that may be. But if godly sorrow may actually be in play, and that sorrow is not to be regretted, it's a better position when somebody acts on that godly sorrow.
Very good. The burden of sin should lead us to repentance, not to continual regret and guilt, right? York talked about the silver lining, the light at the end of the tunnel. At the end of the tunnel is the forgiveness of sins that we have, and the burden should spur us to confess and repent of those sins instead of continuing in that burden of guilt, burden of sin that we saw there in the Psalms.
And confession and repentance brings glory to God. Think about what Joshua said to Achan. Joshua chapter 7, Achan was the man that took the stuff from Jericho that wasn't supposed to. He said, "I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him." And by acknowledging this, you know, confession, the word literally means to say the same thing as. God already knows it. Okay. Now you're just agreeing with him. Yeah. I'm finally coming up. You know, we're together on this now. Yes, I have.
Good point. God knows we've sinned. We're not telling him anything either. All right, Psalm 40, verse 12 says, "For my innumerable evils have surrounded me, my iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me." So does this sound like someone who is strong in the Lord? Someone who is equipped with the whole armor of God? Does the person described here, this person weighed down with the burden of sin, are they ready to stand against the wiles of the devil? Are they prepared to wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places? If we're weighed down by the burden of sin, are we ready to be sober-minded Christians and prepared to face the devil every day? I don't think so. The psalmist couldn't even look up. He's so burdened by sin. We're not going to be on the defense if we can't even look up. That's why the burden of sin should lead to repentance, not continued burden, continued guilt. Does God want us to bear the burden of sin? No. He sent His own Son, who bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. He doesn't want us to bear the burden of sin. He sent His Son to bear those sins. Of course, again, that silver lining is the forgiveness of sins that we have through Him. All right, so let's talk about quickly some ways that we can unload the burden of sin. The best way: avoid it to begin with. Avoid sin altogether. Abstain from every form of evil. Weigh the burden of sin against, to go along with that, weigh the burden of sin against the passing pleasure of sin. So, is the burden worth the pleasure? Don't try to hide your sin. If we do sin, confess it. David kept silent, but then confessed his sin and remove that burden. Let us have godly sorrow that produces repentance leading to salvation. We talked a good bit about that this evening, about that godly sorrow. We saw the Corinthians had that. Confessing our sins and asking for God's forgiveness is really the only way to free ourselves from the burden of sin, right? We can't do it on our own. We can't seek any other help for that burden. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right. The last passage that I wanted to look at this evening is from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Again, that idea, we don't want to be weighed down. We want to cast that burden off and be ready to live our lives as Christians without that burden. I appreciate the comments again, and I look forward to next week.